is what we were just singing about. Would you just muster up some praise? Again, not because I asked you, but because He's worthy of every bit we could give today. I wonder if you'd stand across the place and let's just spend a moment here doing what we just sang. Lord, we give You all, God. Your name is worthy of all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. It's worthy, Lord, of all my praise I could give today. So I offer it to You, Jesus. We worship the name of Jesus. We praise that holy, wonderful name. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. I focus a lot on lyrics of songs. Most of us do. Sometimes I find myself singing lyrics that I don't necessarily live. So a moment ago as we sang, I give my all, I thought, am I really giving my all? Because He's worthy of it. And something just stirred in my spirit. I want to ask us again, this isn't just to fulfill the words of the song, but just because He's worthy. I'm going to put this mic down for a moment and give Him my all for the next little while. And I invite you to join me this morning in the holy presence of God. My God. He's worthy of it. This morning we worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. There's something that happens when we just push back beyond a threshold that our flesh would try to hold up on a Sunday morning. And we just draw nigh unto God. And then we notice, and sometimes we get surprised when He draws nigh unto us. But it's promised in His Word. And we feel that this morning. Can we thank Him for His presence before we move any further? Thank You, Lord, that You're here. Thank You that You're here today. And we feel Your glory and Your power and Your presence. We honor You, Jesus. We honor You, Jesus. We honor You. Thank You, Lord. I'm going to jump right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Book of Zechariah, chapter 4. While you're turning, I want to give honor and recognize my sister and brother-in-law, Roger. So thankful for what they did today, that beautiful commitment, and looking forward to see what happens in Oakland's life. Also, want to welcome my son, Wes, for his first service, and my niece, Mackenzie. These are some of the newest members of Apostolic Pentecostal Church, and we welcome them, along with all of our guests that are here or joining us online. Thank you so much for being here today at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Zechariah chapter 4, we find the backdrop of the chapter. It's set in the year around 520 B.C. It's one of the first groups of Israelite exiles. They returned to the remnants of Jerusalem. Zechariah and his contemporary Zerubbabel, they're looking at a staggering sight. Their once magnificent temple is in ruins. Their city is in shambles. No walls to speak of. There's no predominant place of worship for this deeply devoted group of people. Must have been overwhelming. At the same time, devastating to see their city and their home and their respective mission field and the state that they found it in. In the middle of the anguish and the distress, Zechariah sees a series of visions and he receives a direct word for Zerubbabel. Zechariah 4 and 6 recalls it. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by your force, not by your strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing. Not even a mighty mountain will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hands. So you might be a little overwhelmed at the sight of your city, Zerubbabel. Its condition may disturb you and distress you, but there will be a day when everyone sees that the Lord of heaven's armies, He is the one who sent you here. And on that day, and that final result will come about not by your might, not by your power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I think you all are picking up on some of the parallels I want to preach this morning from Zechariah 4. Based on this passage, I want to preach to you about our city. From this title today, our city, His Spirit. We need the Spirit of the living God to work in our city. And I wonder if you'd pray with me to that end before we are seated today. Would you lift your voice with me in the presence of God? And would you just begin to pray and just open your heart and open your mind and open your spirit to what God's Spirit wants to do today? Lord, you have a definite work for this service. You gave a direct word to Zerubbabel. We're believing you're going to give a direct word to us today. We need your help. We need your Spirit. It's not by our mind or our wisdom or our ability today, but we lean on the power of the Holy Ghost, and we need you to move in our city. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Zerubbabel cannot help but see the desperate and overwhelming state of a city as he arrives along with exiles of the exile group to Jerusalem. The Babylonian army had stripped this once proud city bare. They had torn down its walls. They had destroyed its temple, one of the finest in the world, and they had removed the people to place them in exile in faraway lands. So Zerubbabel and the exiles arrived to find this city in shambles with an additional 70 years of decay on top of the initial destruction that it had endured. Just imagine how overwhelming it must have been to see this city in such a state as it was in, a city that they had only heard about growing up in exile. Certain that previous generations shared stories of its former glory, its prestige during the reigns of David and Solomon and Hezekiah, that probably describe what the temple looked like, overladen with gold and silver and ornate artistry. They probably mentioned the olive groves and the grapevines and the picturesque landscapes. They had a clear picture in their minds of what it used to be in those former days. And now they come upon a place riddled with rocks and pieces of an old and decimated wall. The land is filled with people who've been exiled themselves, and they've been reduced to labor for the interests of Cyrus the Great in the land. There's a broken and misplaced people in the land. They're living in this foreign land, and they're occupying the current mission field of Zerubbabel and the exiles in Jerusalem. All of this paints a pretty bleak picture of what this first group found as they came upon this city that seemed so helpless and so destroyed and so dejected. This is the landscape that Zerubbabel and Zechariah and the people of Israel had before them, one that was broken, one that was fragmented, one that was utterly destroyed. It was lying in shambles. And you and I may not be able to fully relate to what they encountered when they gazed upon their homeland in this broken temple, but I would say today that we certainly do see our share of brokenness in this city of St. Louis and the surrounding areas that we call home today. We may not see the physical setting that Zerubbabel saw, but we can see some of the same fragmented elements and the same disconnect between the people of the land that he would have seen. We can see lives and communities and families and entire neighborhoods lying in shambles and under a cloud of darkness and hopelessness. We can see the direct results of sin and what our sin and our enemy have combined to destroy and to devastate. We can see the toll that darkness has taken on a city that we cherish and on a city that we are collectively called to reach. And like Zerubbabel and the exiles more than likely experienced it, can often be an overwhelming sight. This mission field and the city we're called to reach can oftentimes appear beyond reconciliation or beyond redemption, much like Jerusalem would have appeared to them that day. In fact, the writer of Lamentations, he asked this about Jerusalem after she was destroyed. He said, "How can I console you? To what can I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I compare with you that I could comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea." And then he asked this question, "Who can heal you? Who could put you back together again? Who could redeem your destruction? How could things ever be made right again? How could the obstacles be overcome and the city and its people be made whole after this destruction? These are the shared questions that Zerubbabel and the exiles and you and I face today. Who could heal our city? How could the darkness and the destruction be overturned? How could all this pain and devastation be upended? How are we going to reach this city and accomplish what God has commissioned us to do? I can picture these questions going through Zerubbabel's mind and the heart of all those staring at that demolished temple, and they're wondering, why are we here? Why did we travel all this way in the first place? Why did God call us to this broken and deplorable city? But in the middle of all the musings and the murmurings, there's this voice that pierces through all the doubt and all the questions and all the uncertainty. It's the same voice that's in this room today, and the same one that's been burning a hole in my heart as of late. How can things be made right in my city? How can God work here? How can we reach this city? The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: it is not by your might, it is not by your power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, is going to stand in your way. It will become a level plain before you. And when it's all said and done, in that day, then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent you. Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Zechariah lifts his voice on behalf of the strongest person in the universe. And in doing so, he answers the question that some, if not all of us, have asked ourselves for quite some time. Like the exiles, we see the extent and the trail of destruction in our city, and we're wondering, how in the world could all this be made right? We see no solutions in and of ourselves. We've got no answers within the realm and wisdom of humanity, even in our government circles. We're without recourse on our own and our own might. But in the middle of it all, the word of the Lord reminds us very clearly that we are not without an antidote this morning. Neither have we ever been. We are not without hope. We are not without power. We are not without an answer. And I would argue the answer that our city needs. Instead, Zechariah reminds us, it was never about what we could do in the first place. It was never about our strength or our power, our ability. Instead, it has always been about the power of the Spirit of the God who called us here in the first place. It's not by our might, not by our power. It's by His Spirit. It's by the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit who moved on the face of the waters. The same Spirit who brought order out of chaos. The same Spirit who anointed Moses, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Peter, Paul, James, John, every other apostle. The same Spirit mentioned in Isaiah and later in Matthew who empowers us to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to concern or console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the Spirit. This is what the Spirit can do. All of this and so much more. And by that same Spirit, it says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair ruined cities. The desolations of many generations. It doesn't matter how many generations it's been. The Spirit of God can restore every last one of them. He's able to redeem the ruined cities. So Zechariah reminds us, it's not by our might or our power. It's by His Spirit. And it's only by His Spirit. I make that distinction today on purpose. You see, for the sake of full disclosure, I'll tell you the original inspiration for my title today actually implied otherwise. The truth is, my title was originally inspired by a new and a local sports team in their recent branding on Facebook. As many of you know, St. Louis has a new Major League Soccer club here. I'm not personally too interested in soccer, but I'm interested in what happens in St. Louis, so I followed their page on Facebook. They post all their updates and all their graphics, and one day they posted one of their key rallying cries, their mission statement, on that page. It had sharp design, it had alliteration, I was drawn to it. Jason, would you put that up on the screen for me? I want you to read it. Our city, our spirit. Our city, our spirit. It didn't take long for the preacher in me, and I would argue the Holy Ghost in me, to lock on to that statement, that sentiment. I began to reflect on what they were actually saying here. It occurred to me that they are very much tapping into something in this mission statement. You see, the message behind this particular post and the rallying cry behind this soccer club is that our city can be made better by our collective spirit. Our city can benefit from our collective and our positive resolve. That St. Louis can grow and become unified through our collective determination and hard work. They're saying that when we're unified in our purpose and our will, we can create something significant, something both worthwhile and beneficial. And I would say today that to an extent, they're correct in this matter. Humanity's spirit or determination and will, they have produced some noteworthy things. Mankind's resolve and fortitude have produced some remarkable achievements and milestones. In fact, we see this in the Bible in Genesis 11. Share a common goal. They share a common language. The results of their work are so significant. They said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. So God takes notice and actually comes down, down being the operative word himself, to look at this tower. In his own words, this is what he says in verse 6. Indeed, the people are one. They all have one language, and this is what they begin to do now. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So their unity and their resolve produce something noteworthy, even in the eyes of the God who originally created them. With that in mind this morning, I could certainly see the point. This graphic is trying to drive home. I could see the potential of the rallying cry and the hashtags. I could see the allure of the collective mission and unifying purpose of our city, our spirit. But even still, I want you to take note today that my title and what I've come to preach, they are not based on the spirit and the resolve of mankind. And while I recognize what Genesis 11 and other examples come to bear, today I am compelled to preach about a higher spirit than what man could ever offer. I know our city, our spirit could be compelling and persuasive to some, but I am convinced that our city, the city of St. Louis, the surrounding suburbs, it needs more than what man's spirit has to offer today. And while the will and determination and resolve of man could succeed to an extent, I am more interested today in the will and the resolve and the determination of the spirit of the God who's in this room in every one of our lives. More than I want the will of man to shape and influence my city, I want the spirit of God to shape, influence, fill, flood, overcome, and overwhelm my city. So much more than our city needs our spirit. I've come to say today that what our city really needs is his spirit. It's not by our might, not by our power. It's by his spirit. And where mankind's spirit and will have fallen short and missed the mark in a city like ours, God's Spirit is able to completely transform our city, our neighborhoods, and our individual suburbs. His Spirit has the power to turn entire cities on end. I'm going to say it again because I want it to resonate and I want some faith to rise. And His Spirit can turn entire cities on end. His spirit can turn your neighborhood around. His spirit can turn your municipality around. It can turn your home around. It can turn your neighbor's home around. His spirit is able to turn our city around and upside down for the better. We've seen this in scripture. Acts 2, the spirit falls, spills into the streets. One of the most important celebrations, Passover. Everyone stops their Passover plans. They got to see what's going on here. This just the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 people are filled with the Spirit in one instance. And the city's already beginning to be transformed. It's just one chapter later. God uses one lame man and the voice of Peter He's healed by the power of the Spirit and his testimony and the power of the Holy Ghost compel another 5,000 men, not including women and children, their families, to believe and become followers that day. I want you to notice, in two instances, they happen on two separate days, but in 2 days' time, 8,000 people plus were touched by the power of the Spirit of God, many of them filled with the Holy Ghost. Hear me today. We simply cannot discount the power of God's Spirit and what He can do in a city like God could do it in an instant. Maybe He hasn't yet. But He's already done it in these cities. God could flood our city, in our neighborhoods, in our school districts, and in a moment. It wouldn't be the first time He did it. The Holy Ghost has been overturning and transforming cities for centuries. Jerusalem, Samaria, Damascus, Antioch, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, even Rome itself. And I'm just wondering this morning, if He can do it in those places, why can't He do it in my city? If He can do it in Jerusalem while they're under Roman oppression in a legalistic religious society, why can't He do something in my city in the middle of all of our mess too? I know it looks overwhelming, Zerubbabel. I know your city is in ruins. You're wondering where to start, but it's never been about your spirit. It's never been about your power. Never been about your strength. But if this city is going to be transformed, it will only be by His Spirit. Church, I'm wondering what it's going to look like when the Holy Ghost and the glory of God gets unleashed in our city. And I've seen it happen in this room. I've seen what can happen among a couple hundred people when we let God's Spirit fall in this place. It's one of the most powerful things you will ever experience. And now I'm wondering if it can happen here. I know it can happen out there. God's Spirit isn't limited to these walls. If it can happen here, it can happen in my home and spill into my neighbor's home and into my community, into my municipality, into South County, and into my city. If it can happen here, it'll happen there. And what will it be like when the Holy Ghost gets loose in our city? And I use the word when, because we're already promised it's going to happen. Acts 2 and 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I just keyed in on that this morning. Says God. Not says Brad. Not says Luke, who wrote it. Says God. I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream. We're already seeing this. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Michael preached it and prophesied it several weeks ago that the rain is coming. And I believe it's coming to our city of St. Louis in this metro area. Our city will be filled with His Spirit. Habakkuk chapter 2. Prophet makes this declaration for the earth, including St. Louis, will be filled with knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. We want to see that happen. I want to see that happen in St. Louis. I want to see that happen in South County. I'm going to see that happen. And I don't just want to, but I'll take it a step further today. We need to see it happen. We need it. Just like He did in Jerusalem during that desperate time of restoration. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Shape, fill our city. Several moments ago, I described those emotions and thoughts that may very likely surface in Zerubbabel's heart and mind. I can't say for certain what exactly he felt when he saw that city. But I can say today, we know what it's like to look over a broken city that you call home. And wonder how in the world all this could be put back together again. Particularly the last several months, I felt such a stirring for this South County area. Specifically for the apartments across the street from my house. I'm looking at them right now. I don't see all the brokenness that exists in those families. The terror view from the exterior of that complex. I don't see what's happening in every home and family. I can only speak to what I see across the street. From there, I see ambulances and police presence there a couple times a month, sometimes a couple times a week. I experience the smell of cigarette smoke and the hint of narcotics, marijuana from across the street. See the dumpster vandalized with profanity and threats against a guy named Sean. His name's painted on the dumpster. My lawn is riddled. Small alcohol bottles that make their way across the street. Far the trash truck that goes by. The ladies on the prayer walk were having an intervention with me. They walk by and they say, hey, what's going on with all this? Truth is, I probably couldn't keep up picking those up if I tried. They're just one of many representations of brokenness that resides just two blocks from where we're sitting. The most difficult thing for me today, if I could just be raw, is the kids that are there. See them every day. I see dozens of them. They ride their bikes and they play on the street in the middle of one of the busiest ambulance districts in St. Louis. We're not just busy because of overdoses, but those visits make up way too many of our ambulance visits in South County. I heard recently or a little while ago that cops from around the nation come to train with our canine units. I've seen them from Colorado. I've seen them from Alabama. States all over, they want to go where the most experienced units are, here in South County. Meanwhile, those kids ride their bikes in the street, and they throw a football in the parking lot, and they walk down the side road to the store, and they go back into a broken and darkened home. Many that are absent of the gospel, and even the knowledge of the presence of God. I was holding my son on Friday, praying over those kids, and the thought occurred to me, he's going to be 1 month old tomorrow. He has probably heard the name of Jesus and felt the presence of God more in his 1 month than those kids have in a year or their entire life. I don't say all this today to create some sense of drama or solely to stir up an emotional response. I say it in order to stir up the spirit that's inside of you in the same way that God's been stirring mine and others in the room. God's getting our attention today and turning our eyes toward the harvest and toward a city that's in desperate need of spirit-filled labors. On a personal level, I can tell you, I may not see what Zerubbabel saw in all that brokenness, but I am starting to see a whole lot more of my broken city than I have in the past. So much so that a couple Thursdays ago, we had youth prayer, and I praying along that back wall, I just buckled in that corner, praying over those kids. I said, God, I don't know how to reach them. I don't know what to do. How do I tell them about you? I want them to be baptized in your name. I want them to know your prayer. Where do I start, God? What do I do? It looks a little more hopeless every ambulance visit. I was thinking all those thoughts and sitting there with that heaviness, and I just heard a voice break through all of it. Said, Brad, it's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by my spirit. And that doesn't mean I won't have to do any of the work. That doesn't mean the city's going to rebuild itself, Zerubbabel. It doesn't mean that they're going to find a place of refuge on their own. You'll have to put in the effort, but we will not be doing it alone. And I want to make the declaration today that by His Spirit, Terraview Apartments are going to be turned on in. And recent, South County is going to be turned on in. By all should believe it, our city can be healed by the power of the Spirit of God. I'm believing we're going to see those kids in our children's program. Baptizing them in Jesus' name. Their parents in the altar watching. Yes. Yes. He's already started to do the work here. We had a prayer time last weekend. 70 churches in the area praying that God would move in our city. As musicians come, I want to share with you what happened at the end of that. I mentioned it briefly the other day. We were in the parking lot. The gifts of the Spirit began to operate, and the Lord gave us a word that I want to read you. This is what He said straight. I just copied it straight out of that voice memo. He said, what you have done today in prayer is breaking down walls that have been built in your city. Walls that have tried to keep me out. Walls that have tried to silence my voice and silence my truth. He said, what you have done today is sent forth a power that sin cannot stand against. No wall, no weapon, no boundary can stand against it. He said, I am tearing down the walls that are keeping my creation from me, and I am releasing my spirit of truth into your city right now. He said, you're going to see it happen. You'll see people come into your services. You'll see them filled with my spirit. You will see the chains of bondage be broken in Jesus' name, says the Lord. Oh, I feel faith in the room right now. I wonder if you just stand across this place and express that faith. Would some of you just to start to lift your voice this morning and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Spirit of God? Oh, I wonder if we could just lift. If there's some desperate people who feel the Holy Ghost stirring you, I invite you to come. I know you can pray in your seat, but I'm asking you, as a sign of faith and desperation, would you just step out of where you are, if you're comfortable, and come and find a place to pray over our city. Someone that wants to see the Holy Ghost, would you just begin to come, if you're comfortable right now. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus. We're going to loose the Holy Ghost in our city. Oh, if you're desperate and you're ready to see God do something in your neighborhood.
You're the light in the dark.
Oh, can we pray, church?
You're the hope to
your prayers are unleashing something. Your prayers are moving something. Your prayers are sending angels. Your prayers.
There is no one like our God.
City, my God, you gotta move and tear him. You gotta move among my neighbors.
Things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
Specifically to do this today. We can see those apartments from our front door, and I just feel to pray. That's just one corner of our community, but there's something about it that God has led us there as a church. I wonder if you're not praying already, would you just turn and face that direction and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost? There might be a kid there that feels the power and the effect of your prayer. Oh, I wonder, as you pray, would you just believe those walls are falling and darkness is fleeing and chains are being broken? We declare it in the Holy Ghost, freedom from darkness, freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom from addiction. You're going to give us a door. You're going to give us a way in. You're going to remove walls.
You're the hope to the homeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are.
Someone pray in the Holy Ghost.
You're the light.
The Spirit pray for you and with you. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they're going to give us opportunities for discipleship. They're going to let us reach them, God. You're going to bring out them to us and us to them. In Jesus' name. Involvement does not negate ours. We work with and follow His Spirit. The Lord's been dealing with me. I've got the workings of a plan, just some way in those apartments. But He didn't let me just stop at prayer. He's been pushing me to go reach people. How? I don't know all that yet. The Lord said to Zerubbabel, He rejoiced to see the work begin. You got my spirit, now start stacking some stones. Start something. Do something. This last prayer we're going to pray is just a commitment. That whatever He tells us to do, it may have been in this service, we're just going to listen to His voice. We're going to do it. We're going to do something. I want you to pray with me and make that commitment this morning if you're comfortable. God, thank you, Jesus, for your spirit and your help, Lord. But we know that you're going to help us to do something. There's a work for us to do. There's disciples to reach. There's work to be done. And today I commit that I'm going to do something, Lord. Whenever you tell me, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I want to follow your spirit. And as a church, we commit this morning. We're going to do something. We're going to begin the work, Lord. We're going to begin the work to see our city healed and our community healed. And we're not going to despise the small beginnings of the work. We're just going to continue to do it by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.